break every chain and give you the victory again and again. I am the restorer of your soul. I am the one who anoints your head with oil. I come with abundant grace of oil and wine, the kind that will restore your soul. I am the Lord, your healer. I come to set you free and heal your wounds so that you may rise and shine and bring glory to me. I am not only your deliverer and healer, I anoint you with joy. I am the Lion of Judah who breaks every chain. I am the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. I died as the Lamb of God for you, my people, to cleanse and restore and redeem your soul self to me. But I rose, the Lion of Judah, who breaks every chain. When their enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I, the Lion of Judah, am that standard. Lift it up against your enemy. For above, far above every plan and every device, every principality and power, my anointing breaks the enemy's yoke from your life. And Jesus is alive. He's not a figment of our imagination.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. God is good. God is good.
All the time.
Hallelujah. We have an amazing God. No matter what we go through in life, God's power and his love for us never changes. And that's the most amazing thing. Isn't it amazing that we are at the end of a year? Whoever thought that, you know, we would come so quickly to the end of an year. But when there's an end, there's always a beginning.
Yeah.
So praise God, it doesn't end here, but there's always something more that we can expect God to do. Amen. In our lives. And so we come as a people expectant. I come today to you expectant that God is going to stir us up for the things that he's bringing in 2018. Yeah. But before I go into the word this morning, I just want to pray for those that are some who are sick, who are part of this body. And we as believers, we need to pray for those who are unwell. And so before I go into the word, let's all stand for a few moments. We have Tallulah who needs prayer this morning. We have Richard Heaver who needs prayer this morning. We have Jenny who is not well as well. She needs prayer. We have Alia as well who needs prayer this morning. And so as we pray together, you might have others that need prayer. Whoever they are, just present them to the Lord as we're going to pray as one body, as one church, as one people. Because we're not going to give in to the enemy. We're not going to give in to his schemes or plans or maneuvers. My declaration is this, that all this has to stop today. Sickness has to stop today. We're not taking it into 2018. That's my belief. That's my faith. That's what I trust God for. I told the Lord, we are not taking disease and sickness into 2018. Because it's going to stop today. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty. They're mighty. They're mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds. These are strongholds. These are weapons that the enemy is trying to distract and destroy the body of Jesus Christ. But we as believers, we know that Christ rose from the grave. He rose victoriously. He rose triumphantly. He conquered death. He conquered sickness. He conquered evil. And that is not our portion. It does not belong to us because Jesus paid it on the cross of Calvary. And this morning, that's my declaration. Brenda needs healing as well. In the name of Jesus. Her dad needs healing as well. In the name of Jesus. So let's pray together this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you, O God, that we praise you, O God, because your word says that the weapons of our warfare, they are not of this earth. They are not carnal. They are mighty in God. And Father, this day, for pulling down strongholds, for casting down imaginations, and anything and everything that comes up against the knowledge of God, we tear it down in Jesus' name. And today, oh God, we are taking authority over all principalities, over all powers, over all rulers in the high places. We are taking authority in the name of Jesus. And we are declaring that Jesus is Lord. And we are declaring that Jesus paid the price for us. He paid the price for every sickness, for every disease, for every curse that comes upon us, that the enemy tries to trap us in. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid it with his blood. The blood of Jesus applied on those who are sick this morning. And I declare in the name of Jesus that the resurrection power of Jesus that rose him from the dead right now touch you, right now heal you, right now deliver you, right now set you free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that you come out of your sickness, you come out of your defeat, you come out of the things that God, that Satan tries to hold you down, and you rise up with healing right now in the name of Jesus and declare the glory of God. We shall not give in, we shall not give up, we shall not lay down, but we shall rise up. Because God is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus, you're alive in us. And you are the Lord of all creation. So we thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen and amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we just got to take the fight back to the enemy. And you know, our fight comes from a place of victory because of Jesus. We are never on the defeated side. Never. Because that was settled once and for all. And when we come to the cross of Jesus, when we nail things to the cross of Jesus, we are nailing it with victory because victory is already ours in Jesus' name. So I declare this morning that everyone in this house be healed. Whatever situation you are facing this morning, whatever situation at home, whatever family situation that you're facing, I declare this morning that it will not go into 2018. Are you with me? We will not allow things to carry on into 2018. We will not allow the same old, the same old, the same old will not continue into 2018 because we are stopping it today. And we are declaring, Jesus, your victory is sufficient for us. Your grace is more than enough for us. There's nothing we need worry about, nothing we need be afraid of because God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can come against the elect of God? Who can come against the God's children? Who can come against us? You and I, we are the body of Jesus Christ. We have been bought with a price, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. His blood has been applied on us. We are his. We belong to Jesus. How dare somebody else snatch us or try to snatch us? That's why Romans 8 tells us nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from him because we are his always and forever we will be his sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. And so I hope you're encouraged this morning to know that our fight is not against flesh and blood. But we have an enemy. We know we do. But the enemy has been defeated. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Ah, good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. So my title this morning is Winning in 2018. Winning in 2018. And it's a series that I'm launching into because I know that as a church we are winners. Yeah. We are winners. To start off with a little story, there was a Sunday school teacher. And she was struggling to open a lock you know, one of these combination locks. And you need to know the numbers on a combination lock. If you forget the numbers, you won't be able to open it. She tried and tried, but she couldn't remember that one, that last digit gone off her head. So she calls the pastor. She says, please, pastor, can you help me? So the pastor comes in and he tries to, you know, get the combination together. And he misses one digit as well. He looks blankly at it and goes, oh, you know. And then what he did was he looked up. And as we all, as we do, and he looked up heavenward, and the teacher saw him mumbling, you know, a few words from his mouth. And then he looked back at this lock. And then he quickly turned the digits and he found the number. He found the combination and he opened that lock. And the teacher was amazed. She said, I'm in awe at your faith, pastor. Well, the pastor, it's really nothing. He said, the number is on a piece of paper up there on the ceiling. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to laugh, isn't it? Praise God. So what's the vision of the church? It's very simple. It has to be according to the Word of God. And the vision is this, to preach the gospel and to make disciples of Jesus. That's why we are here. To preach the gospel and to make disciples of Jesus by loving Jesus and having a passion for those things that Jesus is passionate about. It's not to have passion about something else. It's to have a passion of those about those things that Jesus is passionate about. And what is Jesus passionate about? His church, his body. He's passionate about people. We see that in the scriptures. Wherever he went, people flocked to him. He never took himself away unless it was just to pray and spend time with his Father. But wherever Jesus was and people came, he always ministered to them. That was his purpose. That was his passion. He served the community in his time. What are we here for? We are here to serve our neighborhood, to serve our community. We have a passion. What is passion? We talk about passion. It has so many meanings. And I'm going to just talk a little about that. Passion. When you have passion, when somebody has passion, it means he's committed or she is committed to whatever they're passionate about. There is commitment. You look at people. I recently, at our company, we had a conference and there was a guy who, a doctor, who climbed Mount Everest. He was a gynecologist, and he had a desire to get to that summit, and touch. There is a silver ball there. Touch that. As you know, that was his aim. And he spent months training for it. Months of training in order to get to that place, just to put his hand on that globe. That's commitment. He didn't give up. He pressed on. What does it mean? It means focus. That's what it means. Not getting sidetracked, because the enemy is very clever at bringing distractions. How many know that? The moment you set your heart and your mind to do something, the enemy will always bring a distraction in our lives. Passion, when we have passion, there is zeal. There is tenacity. You know, you will not give up no matter what. No challenge is too hard. Nothing will stop a person who is committed, who has a passion to see something happen. There is enthusiasm with it. There is energy when there is passion in our lives. This year we focused on prayer. And I spoke from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And there it says that prayer is to be offered for everyone. asking God to help them, to bless them. Prayer must be offered for the nation, for those in authority. Prayer must be offered so that people will be saved. Because God desires that all men will be saved. That is God's heart. That is God's passion. That all men should hear the gospel of Jesus. That's His heart. That's His heartbeat. And when we say we are passionate for Jesus, our heartbeat should be His heartbeat. That is about people. That is about salvation. That's about people coming to know the Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we did pray over this last year. We met on Wednesdays for prayer. We met on some Thursdays for prayer. Prayer is still the backbone of the church. We have to continue to pray in 2018. Hence we have the hour of power on Sundays, reaching to new heights in God. Because through prayer, we can reach new heights in God. How many know we are in a race? And in any race, winning follows preparation. In any race, winning follows preparation. And this year, I believe, as we have been praying, we have been preparing, and God is going to honor that prayer that has gone up from this house for this nation, for this community, for people to come to know Jesus. Because every prayer that we have prayed, God has heard. And God is no debtor. He always answers our prayer. And so get ready for a new year that's coming up. Get passionate about the things of the Spirit of God, because that's God's heart for us. Get in on the action, because when we are in on the action, God can do something with us. Let's get in the game. Let's be players in the game. Let's not sit on the sides and just keep watching the game, but let's get involved in what God is doing, not only in this locality, but also in this nation. How many know this nation needs prayer? This nation seriously needs prayer. I was talking to someone this week and I was saying, you know, unless we as people of God, we stir ourselves up and we come to a place where we are concerned about what's happening in our nation, what's happening amongst Christians, what's happening in churches today. I read somewhere that churches, so many churches are closing down. And other faiths are coming up. And when I read that, I was sad. And I was telling somebody, this week, we have to wake up. We have to get stronger in God. We got to understand and know that the enemy has a plan. We got to be aware of it. Sometimes we kind of get too nicey-nicey-nice. In our attitude, but we cannot do that with the enemy. We cannot do that with the devil, because he is real. And his job is to destroy everything that God has planned for good. And that's why you see, even in this nation, Christianity is under threat. Look around. Christianity is under threat. Whoever thought that this would happen in this era that we are in? You would never have thought that this, the United Kingdom, that launched Christianity, that brought Jesus to the nations across the world, would be threatened by the very thing, the very understand, the very revelation that this nation had in taking the gospel, now coming under the threat of not being able to preach that gospel freely. And I think that should awaken anyone who really wants to see something new happen. Because unless we take a responsibility, nothing's going to change. And my prayer is that in 2018, that we will prioritize God's kingdom. We will start to search and seek after God in such a way that we will know and understand the times and know that we have got to come together and we have got to be forceful in our praying and in our witness for Jesus. The question is, how badly do we want to see people saved? How badly do we want it? How desperate are we to see people born again? How desperate are we to see people coming to the kingdom of God? Because that desperation will cause us to do something about it. How many times have we invited somebody to church? How many times have we gone out of our way to say, I will come and pray for you. I will do whatever it takes to make sure that I love you with the love of Jesus. And I think it's coming to that time that we got to get something in us to say, I dare. I dare. I dare to be a witness. I dare to take the cross of Jesus, to bear his cross daily and follow him. How desperate are we to see God at work here, right here in this house? How desperate are we to see this house filled with people? That takes us to invite people and remind people this is a place of coming together as one family. And God is at work in our lives. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Launching into 2018 as a winner. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, it reads this. A huge cloud of witnesses is all around us. The pioneers of the faith, the veterans cheering us on. That simply means those who have gone before us. It's as if we are in an arena. And there are those who have gone before us, who are in the bandstands, on the seats surrounding this arena. And what are they doing? They are cheering us on. We are the ones who are on the track. We are running the race. They have run the race already. And what are they doing? They're saying, come on, you can make it. Come on, you can do it. And so the scripture says, so let us throw off. Say, throw off. Say, strip off. Everything that stands in our way or slows us down. Let us throw off any sin that holds on to us so tightly. I think Paul made it, the writer, we think it's Paul, as we look at the scriptures there, the writer here is saying, let us throw off any sin that holds on to us so tightly. And my prayer is that in the year coming, that we will throw out any sin that's in our lives. And let us keep running the race marked out for us. The race has been marked out for us. Whether we like it or not, we are in the race. We are not out of it, we are in it. Let us keep looking to Jesus. Verse 2. Let us keep looking unto Jesus. He's the one who started this journey of faith, and he's the one who completes the journey of faith. He paid no attention to the shame of the cross. He suffered there because of the joy he was looking forward to. Then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. What did they do? They spat upon him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They beat him up so badly. I mean, what more humiliation could the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords have received? That was done by those around him. He endured all that hostility from sinful people. And then he says, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. You won't get tired and you won't lose hope. The first point is this. You have to keep looking unto Jesus. You got to keep looking to Jesus. Now, there is a difference between looking to Jesus or looking unto Jesus and just looking at Jesus. See, many times we look at Jesus and nothing changes. When we look to Jesus, that tells me that we are drawing from Jesus. It's not a case of aspiring to, but it's a case of being involved in, actively drawing from Jesus. Can you see the difference? It's looking unto Jesus, not at Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, drawing from Jesus. What are we drawing from Jesus? We're drawing strength from Jesus. We're drawing endurance to run this race from Jesus. We're drawing power to overcome the challenges, overcome the obstacles. How many know that there are obstacles and they are called challenges? We often encounter, don't we? Who's without any challenge? We face challenges every day. But you know what? Challenges help us grow. And it stretches us from being comfortable to becoming uncomfortable. When you're challenged, you are uncomfortable. And many times we don't like that position. But that's the position that enables us to stretch and go beyond our capacity and our limitation. A challenge is like stretching a muscle. If we didn't use a muscle, what will happen? It'll atrophy, it'll die. It'll just, you know, wither because it's not being stretched. The more we stretch our muscles, that's why, you know, doctors say walk every day, you know, get your body in shape, get those muscles working. Why? So that we can be active. If a muscle is not stretched, it will die. And that's why challenges are unique. They are key in our lives because they stretch us to the next point, to the next level. And so let's not discard challenges, but let's say, come on, bring it on. I'm going to get stretched. I'm going to be stretched in 2018. I'm not going to turn away and run from it. I'm going to face it. Because I know whom I'm facing it with. And that's with Jesus. Challenges help to shape our character. How many know that we need character building? In order for us to move into the next quarter or the next objective of our lives, into the next season of our lives, in many cases, we need a change of character. We need to get stronger where we are in order to move on to the next level. That's what people who want to achieve goals in life, what they do is that they challenge themselves and they stretch themselves that bit further so they can get to the next level. They smooth out any rough edges. That's what challenges do. How many of us have those rough edges? We get a bit, you know, edgy at times. You know what a challenge does? It smoothens it out. It gives us lessons we need to learn that we need for our future, that we need for us the success that we want to see happen in our lives. And most importantly, it helps us realize our potential, that we absolutely can manage through anything that comes our way. Only through a challenge you will know that we can get through anything and everything that comes our way. As Christians, we have an advantage. We have a guarantee in Jesus Christ because He faced every situation that you and I have faced, are facing, and will ever face. He has already faced it. He's already overcome it. And as Christians, when we each face challenges, we got to tell the enemy, Jesus has faced this challenge. Jesus has paid for this challenge. Jesus has rose victoriously through this challenge. And I'm going to get through. Yeah. I'm going to get through. Yeah. I'm not going to just get by, but I'm going to get through. Yeah. because Jesus has got through with it for me. Paul says in Philippians 1 and verse 27, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, most people focus on the second part, to die is gain, and contemplate the joys of heaven. But we should not overlook what comes before. The importance of the phrase, to live is Christ. Don't focus on to die is gain, but to live is Christ. It is Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I do not live by my strength or in my own glory. I live it with the power of the Holy Spirit. To live is Christ. In all honesty, this phrase should be central to every Christian's life. For Paul, Jesus was the author. Jesus was the finisher of his faith. He said, for me to live is Christ. That's it. For me to live is Christ. Have you ever considered a runner, an athlete? How does he run? How does an athlete or a runner, how do they run? With coats and jackets on them? No, they strip off everything. They wear the minimum when they are running. If they could run naked, they would. They used to. Okay. Thank God we didn't live in that era. Why did they do that? So that they could run freely without any encumbrance. Runners have a goal. Runners have a focus. Those who are involved in a race have a focus. They have a goal, an aim. They have something they're aiming at, something they're focused on, something they're reaching towards. They're not running aimlessly. They're not wishing that, you know, oh, I wish I somehow will get to that goal post. No. It's not a case of, I know that's where I'm heading. That's where I'm going. And I'm going to get there. Somehow, I'm going to get there. And this is what the writer of the Hebrews is telling us. And that's why he says, throw off, strip off everything that holds us back or holds us down. Strip it off our lives. Who does it? Jesus? No, you and I have to do it. We got to strip off. When an athlete runs, the coach doesn't strip him off. He does it himself. See, sometimes we wait for somebody else to strip off the rubbish on our lives. Nobody else can strip the rubbish off our lives. We have got to strip it off. Throw it out of our lives. Because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. For us to live is Christ. That's who we are. The course has been set for every believer, for every person from the foundation of the world. We are all in a race. And every race is the same, but running is common to all. But the way we run differs. Because we all have our race. I cannot run somebody else's race. I have my own race to run. It's still a race, but God's called me to run it in a certain way. He's given me a certain goal. For Paul, it was, for me to live is Christ, and to die is also great, because I know where I'm going. And that's an amazing thing to have, isn't it? Can you imagine that, living every day? For me to live is Christ. So if I live or if I die, makes no difference. I'm still going out all out for Jesus. Because on this earth, I'm going to be powerful. I'm going to be a witness. When I die, I will still be a witness. In my death, people will know that this is a man or woman of God who's lived a life of servanthood, that has touched the lives of many. And I sometimes say to people, what's the point of having beautiful houses and everything else and all the cars and everything? Because we can't take any of it with us. But all we can do is take those people that we have spoken to in the name of Jesus and loved on people. We can take them to a place of eternity. And everything we do, I always say this, has an eternal significance. We should never, ever forget that. It says to throw off, strip off everything that will hold us back or hold us down. And every sin in our lives, we ought to strip ourselves of that too. Everything that tries to get a hold of us. And some of us have been running and running, but have never got anywhere. Have you had that feeling? That you've been running and running, you got tired, but you never got anywhere. You know why? It's because of all the baggage. It's because of all the stuff that keeps hanging on to us. That's why I hear the writer says, you know, don't run with baggage. Strip it off, throw it off, and run this race looking unto Jesus. Often we hold on to baggage, and we know we should not hold on to such baggage. We hold on to some sinful lifestyles, and we know that we should not be holding on to sinful lifestyles. And you know what happens? That's when we keep running and we keep running and we keep running and we never get anywhere. And this morning I want to encourage you, if you feel like that, then you got to look at your own life and see, okay, where am I in God's spectrometer? Is that correct? Is it? Spectrometer? Is that something like that? Spectrum? Okay. Maybe I made a word. Oh, good. Okay. That's good. I got something there. We got to get rid of stuff in our lives. What is sin? 1 John 3, 4 to 6 tells us that beautifully. It says this, 1 John 3, 4 to 6. All who indulge in a sinful life are dangerously lawless. Have you seen that around us? Those who lead ungodly lives, there's no law that they abide. For sin is a major disruption of God's order. Surely you know that Christ showed up in order to get rid of sin. There is no sin in him. And sin is not part of his program. It's not a part of Jesus. No one who lives deeply in Christ makes a practice of sin. I know that there are many people who think they can walk or they can paddle two boats and look good on a Sunday. It won't happen. It'll be like the children of Israel in the wilderness, going round and round and round and round and round and never getting to the promised land. And I don't want us to be that in 2018. I want us as a church to take a stand. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And it says in that scripture, 1 John 3, 4 to 6, it says, none of those who do practice sin have taken a good look at Christ. They've got him all backwards. Don't know Jesus or understand him. Sin means to miss the mark. The mark of what? In this case, it's the standard of perfection established by God and evidenced by Jesus Christ. It is clear that we are all sinners when we are born on this earth because of Adam and the sin that he committed. We all come under that, under sin. And Romans 3:23 tells us that. Everyone has sinned. No one measures up to God's glory. And therefore, it is absolutely important that we take heed to God's word, his standards, and get rid of anything and everything that hinders us if we want to win in 2018. That's a choice. I cannot force it down anyone. I can only preach it. I can only encourage it. I can speak about it. And I can do whatever it takes to build people up. But the choice is yours. You got to determine, like an athlete does, like any other person who wants to conquer a mountain or go get to the South Pole or whatever that might be, cross the Atlantic. They've made up their mind. They have a determination that I'm not giving up. The storms are coming. The challenges are coming. The seas are going to get rough. I'm going to capsize. I'm going to sometimes be thrown overboard. But I know that I'm getting to my destination. Nothing's going to stop me. That's the tenacity that we as believers need in this dispensation, in this time that we're living in, because the times are getting harder. How many know that? It's getting harder to witness for Jesus. Try doing that on the street. The police will be there very quickly. That's how it is today. And you and I, we need to be tenacious about the gospel of Jesus. The fact is this, if we keep running the same way that we ran before, we can never achieve anything new. How many know that? If you keep doing the same old, and the same old, you can never experience the new. It has to change. Something has to change in our lives. The fact is, we are running a course that has been marked for us. It's there already. So let us run this race looking to Jesus, looking unto Jesus, because he's the only way that we are guaranteed a winning finish in him. So don't allow the old to keep you from the new. Sometimes in order to step into the new, you have to throw off the old. And that can be painful. How many know sometimes you get rid of stuff even in our own homes? Have you tried clearing out your house? Sometimes it's difficult to get rid of stuff. You have never used it for years. It's been sitting there gathering dust. But try taking that out and chucking it out or giving it away. Whoa! It is painful, but it is worth it. Stepping out of the old and into the new. Jesus endured the cross. It was painful for him, yet he did it. Why? Because of the joy set before him of seeing people set free. That's why he did it. That's why Jesus stepped out of eternity and stepped into humanity. He became just like us so that he could win in life for us. Because he won, you and I, we win. Tell your neighbor, you are a winner because of Jesus. What does it mean to live in Christ? This is what it means. To live in Christ means that we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. His message was constant. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul's message was constant. That's what he said. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2 tells us that. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I'm here for. He brought the message of Christ's sacrifice to everybody, both Jews and the Gentiles, men and women. He would preach to anyone who would listen. Wherever it was, Paul would preach the gospel. Let's make it our duty, our responsibility to bring the gospel of Jesus in 2018 to our neighbors, to our friends. Let's not be afraid to talk about Jesus. Let's not be afraid to challenge people in their faith and say, come on. I always do this to Christians, nominal Christians that I know. I say, look, would you like somebody else or some other faith to take over this nation? Would you? No. I shock them a bit. I say, okay, so what are you doing about it? They don't go to church. You know, they're not involved in anything. They just, oh, you know, we are nice. We'll be nice. And the enemy has a plan. But I say, look, you can't be nice anymore. When I say nice, I don't mean, you know, I don't say hurt people. No, don't be nice with the enemy. There's no niceties about him. But we got to be wise. That's what the scripture says, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. To live in Christ means this. To live is Christ is this. It means that we imitate the example of Jesus. Paul imitated Christ. That's what he did. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, follow me as I follow Jesus. That's what he said. And that we can tell people, follow me as I follow Jesus. Let our lives so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify Jesus. Let us endeavor to imitate Jesus and do what he would do in 2018. To live is Christ means that we pursue the knowledge of Christ, of Jesus Christ, that we want to know Christ better and better each day. Not just a set of facts, not just knowledge about Jesus, but knowing Jesus himself, the real person of Jesus Christ in our own lives. Many today know a lot about Jesus. They're knowledgeable about all the facts about Jesus, but they don't know him personally. God is a personal God, and he wants to have a relationship with everybody. His desire is that all men be saved. That's God's heart. That's God's desire. God's desire. Philippians 3 and 10, verses 10 to 11 tells us that. And let us work hard in getting to know Jesus more in 2018. Let us work hard at it. The next one, to live is Christ means that we are willing to give up anything that prevents us from having Christ to the full. It means to give up. Say give up. Give up. Anything that prevents us from having Christ to the full. Let's not have Christ in half measures. I think many times we run around with Christ just half measures. God gave us abundant life to the full. That's what the scripture says, doesn't it? John 10 and verse 10 tells us that. Not just ordinary, let's get by kind of life. No. Life to the full. Life to the full doesn't come with just saying, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. It comes with tenacity. It comes with passion. It comes with courage. It comes with shaping our character. It comes with having a goal in our lives, having the passion that Jesus has for a generation, for a community, for a nation that needs to know God, that needs to know the power of the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It comes with that passion and desire. That's how it comes. Righteousness and sin do not intermingle. And Paul put it this way in Philippians 3, 7 to 9. The very credentials, he says this, the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up. He says, I'm tearing up. I'm throwing it out with the trash. Along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. It's insignificant in proportion. For me to live is Christ. In that proportion, everything else is insignificant. And he says there in the message, dog dung, dog poo, that's what he calls it. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I've dumped it all in the rubbish so that I can embrace Christ and Christ can embrace me. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. And he says, let us give up anything that gets in the way of Jesus. Let us give up anything and everything that gets in the way of Jesus in 2018. Let's determine that, church. Are you with me? Are you with me in 2018? It's gonna get tough. But when it gets tough, the tough get going. They don't run away from it. Let's not run away from challenges, but let's face it because of Jesus. And my last point is this. To live is Christ means that Christ is our focus. He's our goal. Our chief desire should be to be like Jesus. He is the center. He's at the center of our heart. He's at the center of our mind. He's at the center of our body, our soul, our mind, our emotions, and our will, submitted to Jesus. Will take you into 2018 with an attitude of, I am a winner. When Jesus is that focus, everything that we do for the glory of Jesus. Everything, everything. And sometimes we go to ask ourselves, whatever things that we are involved in, is this glorifying Jesus? Is what I am doing now in this place glorifying Jesus? And if the answer is no, then you got to run away from it. No matter how much you love it, sin, unrighteousness cannot mingle with righteousness. And my prayer is that in 2018, when you ask yourself that question, would Christ be pleased in this place that I am in? Would he be glorified in what I'm doing now? And if you are hesitant, if your answer is a yes, then continue doing it. If you are hesitating, then you know you have a problem. Run away from it. Don't entertain it anymore. Whatever it is in our lives. And that's why this scripture says, as we run the race marked out for us, we lay aside every sin, every weight of sin, every distraction, fixing our eyes, looking unto Jesus, the author and the completer or the finisher of your faith, of my faith, of our faith. Let's leave 2017. Let's leave behind the old habits, the failures, and let's focus in becoming winners in 2018. How many want to be winners in 2018? How many want to be winners? I hope this morning I've given you something that you can focus on, that you're going to deliver in the coming year. You can deliver it. You can be that winner. Not aspiring. You are. Tell yourself, I am that winner. I am that winner.
because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Let's all stand together. I just want us to reflect on our lives. I don't know your life. God knows. And today, I just want us, every one of us here, to make our own decision. Our own decision in our lives to say, I am a winner. I am winning in 2018. The old is gone. I'm getting rid of stuff in my life. I'm not going to entertain sin anymore. I'm not going to tango with sin anymore. But I'm going to follow. For me to live is Christ. I am living for Jesus. I'm living unto Jesus. My life surrounds the priorities of Jesus. My passion are those that Jesus is passionate about. My desires are those that Jesus desires. My life is going to be patterned according to the life of Jesus. That people will see Jesus in me. And the question we got to ask ourselves is, when people talk to us, when they see us, do they see Jesus in me? And today, if the answer to that question is, I'm not sure, you can be sure. Because that's the best place to be. As we sing this song, let's make it our own prayer. You can pray from your heart this morning. You make your commitment to Jesus today.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear?
You crush
the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. And whom shall I fear?
I know who goes before me.
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Say, my strength is in your name.
My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. And whom shall I fear? And whom shall I fear? You are faithful, you are faithful. is always by my side.